Awesome to be here with you guys this morning. I believe God's placed something on my heart for you. There's a lot packed in here, so put your thinking caps on a little bit. Don't check out too much. If you're snoring, I might point you out. Just kidding. I haven't done it yet. I notice it. You know, when people are sleeping, I do notice it, but I haven't pointed it out yet. You know, sometimes this is just a comfortable place. You know, the seats are a little comfy. It gets warm in here. Anyways, when you were growing up, did you ever have anybody say to you, you know, what is it that you want to be when you grow up? That's a typical question, right? What is it that you want to be when you grow up? You probably said that to a child before, maybe your own kid or somebody else's kid. You've asked them, you know, what do you want to be? And the answers are typical, right? I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. I was at a situation with a group of basketball kids or group of elementary kids several weeks ago, and three quarters of them said they all wanted to be NHL players. It's awesome to have dreams, isn't it? I remember when I was a kid, my dream was I wanted to be a fighter pilot. You know, I think, you know, I grew up kind of in the 80s, so something tells me I think I saw Top Gun on TV a few too many times. Just a few too many times. And, you know, I watched, you know, Tom Cruise, and he seemed so cool, and I was like, I just want to be like a fighter pilot. You know, and then I got a little bit older, and I remember being on a flight one time, and getting a little bit motion sickness, and it struck me at that moment, man, I'm in a commercial plane, and I'm getting motion sick. This doesn't look too good for my future as a fighter pilot. And so that dream died at that moment. It was very sad. Oftentimes when we talk about our job or our career, whatever we do that we spend the majority of our time with, we use an old word. Maybe you haven't used it in a long time. We use this word vocation. You probably used that word before, heard it before. What is your vocation? That word has a very interesting background. It comes from the Latin word vocare or vocari. I don't know Latin, so I'm probably saying it wrong. And oh, by the way, like you probably notice I'll point that out later. Anyways, the Latin word vocare literally means to call or a calling. So when you think about you know, your vocation, often as we think of it just as something that you do, a job, a career, but the original meaning of vocation literally means your calling. Have you ever thought about that before? If you come from like a non-religious background, when you think of calling, maybe you see it as something that you just feel within yourself that you just have to do. It's your destiny, maybe you've thought of it that way. It's my destiny to be fill in the blank. Maybe if you come from a Christian background, that sense of calling really is connected more to that sense of God calling you, like Him telling you He wants you to do something. He has a specific job for you. When I think of this, it's interesting because the history of the church for many hundreds of years, specifically in the Middle Ages, when they used that word vocation, it was really only connected to people who were in the work of the church. So if you were the Pope, if you were a bishop, if you were a priest, if you were a nun or a monk or whatever it was, that you had a vocation, which meant you had a calling. Your calling was a higher calling from God, and that is what you were supposed to do. But everybody else didn't have a vocation. They had a job. It wasn't something that God had called them to do. It's just a job. Those who were in church ministry were called by God, and then there was everybody else. Well, it wasn't until the Protestant Reformation that church leaders, you know, in the 1600s specifically, started rethinking this idea of vocation and calling. And guys like Martin Luther started to say, hey, this isn't right. What we see in the scriptures, what we see of God is that it's not just people who work in the church, who are pastors or priests or whatever, who have a calling, but all of God's people are called. You don't have to have a church job or a religious job to be called of God, but all people have a calling. And so that's a little bit of what I want to talk to you guys about today, is this idea of calling in our At Work with God series. Do you have a sense of calling in your life, and what does that mean for you? I think I'm going to go over three different types of callings today. The first one is the highest calling. You probably noticed on the board there, it was pointed out to me, I wrote the kinds of callings. I wasn't trying to do this in King James English. It's supposed to say three kinds of callings. So you could ignore my spelling mistakes here, my typos. The kinds of callings, three kinds of callings. The first one I want to talk about is our highest calling. What is your highest calling? When we look in the Bible, the most important calling that we see actually God calling us to is our relationship with God. Our highest calling is our connection to Jesus as our Savior, our Lord, our friend, as God, our Heavenly Father. That is our highest calling, is to connect with Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And there's a lot of other scriptures like that in the Bible that points to our calling. Our highest calling is in fellowship with Jesus. This idea of close relationship. You have something, that fellowship is this idea is when you're gathering together with people, you have something in common. One of the things what we think about with our relationship with God oftentimes is because we're a very individualistic society, it's just between me and God. But this idea of fellowship actually is greater than that. It's more of a group relationship, that you have been called into fellowship with Jesus with other people. So oftentimes within our society today, we're like, forget everybody else, it's just me and God. But that actually is a very strong disconnect from what Jesus originally intended the church to be. The idea of church is us. We are called together in relationship with Jesus. Oz Guinness, he's a Christian writer, a fellow from Britain, and in one of his books, he writes this. He says, first and foremost, we are called to someone, not to something or somewhere. I'll read the brackets. It says, first and foremost, we are called to someone, which is God. Not to something such as motherhood or politics or teaching or whatever other job you want to put in the blanks, or to somewhere such as the inner city or outer Mongolia. I mean, what Oz is touching on here is this idea that we gain our identity, we gain our significance oftentimes from the things that we do or where we live and where we go. And he's pointing out a very human temptation that many of us fall into. I know I relate to this deeply. Oftentimes those who go into pastoral ministry like myself and do the things that we do, oftentimes the temptation and the hole that we fall into is that we gain our identity and we gain our significance from what we do. People call you pastor, and there's a sense of calling, and I do have a sense of calling to what I do. But the temptation is that I gain my significance from that, and it's faulty. That's not my first and foremost calling. So I love what I do. I love being able to pastor. But as I've gotten older, this has become more and more real to me. That God has set me free, that there's no chains on me in regards to what I do. He set me free as a child of God, and that my first and foremost calling ultimately is to be connected with Him. And as much as I love you guys and I love the church, you're not my first calling. My first calling is with Jesus. And I can't fail in that. You know, sometimes there's, you know, and maybe you can relate to this in terms of your job. You have bad days. Things aren't going so well at what you do, at your job. Maybe it's even as a parent. And your sense of self-worth because of that is lowered. You feel like you're failing at life. You feel like you're failing at your job. Things aren't going so well. You haven't made the sale or whatever. And your sense of self-worth lowers. And I know I deal with that at times, and I'm constantly having been brought back to the fact that, Matt, is your self-worth related to what you do and your sense of success, or is it related to your highest calling, and that is your relationship with Jesus? You are a child of God, first and foremost. And because that is your highest calling, oftentimes we, within the church, we do kind of take it for granted. Yes, of course, I have a relationship with God. I pray at my mealtimes. I go to church every so often. But if we're to actually take this seriously, this takes time. Relationships take time. If you have a serious relationship with somebody, it takes time. If I'm going to take my relationship with my wife seriously, I got to spend time with her. She becomes a priority for me. I know sometimes for people who are entering retirement, or they're looking towards retirement, or they've already been retired, there's a sense of loss. Because maybe the thing that you've gained your identity from so long is now kind of taken away from you. And it's like, where is my self-worth? Who am I? What is my purpose? And we have to remind ourselves that it's not connected so much to what I do. The purpose that God has called you to can actually be lived out in many different ways in the things that you do. The other calling that I want to touch on this morning, of the three kinds of callings, is our common calling. Our common callings. Now, our common callings are typically discovered as commands of Jesus that we discover in the Bible. These are the things like loving one another. This is common for all of us. Serving one another. We see that a lot in the life of Jesus. Enduring persecution and hardship. That's a common calling that we've all been called to. How we treat others. Our sexual lives and how that plays out. That's a common calling. These are things that are easily discovered. Oftentimes when we preach and we teach in church, this is kind of one of the common things that we're talking about all the time, is what our common calling is. What has God called all of us to? It's common for all of us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus." God has saved us from our sin. If you're a follower of Jesus, he saved you from a life of destruction. And it says he's called you to live a holy life. He's set you apart. That's what holy means, that you're set apart. You're different. How you live your life is going to look different than the rest of the world. And that's okay. Oftentimes, our desire is to blend in. You know, when kids go into elementary school and they go into high school, there's this pressure on them to blend in, to be like everybody else. But the reality is that as a follower of Jesus, he says, no, I've set you apart to be different, to be holy. And I like this at the end. It says, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. In reality, it's not us trying really hard. God, I'm going to be really, really good within my own strength. But we're able to live this holy life, this set-apart life, because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Because it's his power within us to set us apart and to be holy. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Paul is saying, man, I've given my life to Jesus. He is my Lord and my Savior. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. That's what he's communicating in when he says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. It's basically like, man, he's in charge. He's the top dog. I'm going to do whatever he's called me to do. And I want to remind you to live in a manner worthy that you have been called. You've been called as a child of God. You've been called a disciple of Jesus to live in a way that is worthy of that. That is worthy of that. I don't know what your home culture was like, what your family culture was like, but maybe it was one of those things where it's like your father or your mother would remind you, in this family, this is how we do things. I expect this from you. This is our culture. And it's almost like Paul is reminding, hey, I'm reminding you of what family you are a part of. Live in a way that is worthy of that. So that's our common calling. So we're talking about our highest calling. We're talking about our common calling. The third one that we're going to touch on today, the one that is the hardest at times for us to figure out, is our specific calling. Now, what I mean by a specific calling is that for every single one of us, this is going to play itself out a little bit differently. This is the one that oftentimes we talk about when we talk about vocation or career or the thing that we spend the majority of our time with. Maybe you're a mother, you're a homemaker, maybe you're taking care of an elderly parent even. Maybe you have a job, you're an electrician or an engineer, whatever it is. We have specific callings. This one's harder than the first two. The first two, highest calling, common calling, is for all of us. And this is what is spoken of most within Scripture. But this specific calling really requires us to tune in and hear the voice of God within our lives. It causes us to understand our giftings and our talents and how God has geared us. And it causes us as well to be aware of the opportunities that God is bringing along our way. And this is our specific calling. The interesting thing about specific calling is that this isn't static. This can change over time. Those of you who are in the room, who've been here, maybe you're in your 50s and 60s or even your 40s or whatever, you recognize this over the years that, like, things have changed. It maybe didn't stay static. The thing that you were called to when you're 20 has changed in your 30s or in your 40s. And that is okay. I remember when we were living overseas, felt very strong call into the Middle East. We were living there for many years. And when we left Canada and went over there, there was a sense within my heart that, like, this was forever. And I think that God spoke to me in that way because he wanted me to have that mindset. Don't hold anything back. You're gonna head into the Middle East, and that's going to be your home, and I want you to plant down roots there, and that's going to be it. And that's what I did. And many, many years in, about 8 years into the process, when God started speaking to my heart that my time there was done, it was very confusing for me. It's like, really? I thought I was supposed to be here for, like, ever. What are you doing, God? Why? What's happening within my heart? Why are things changing? And I remember the Lord finally kind of, like, encouraging me and just being like, it's okay. It's okay. There's something that's stirring in my heart, and this original calling you have, I'm releasing you from that. I'm releasing you from that. You can go and you can do something else. So sometimes it's not static. For me as a pastor, my job is to point you to your highest calling. My job is to teach about our common callings. And it's to encourage you in your specific calling. But the reality is that I can't tell you what your specific calling is. That is something, to a certain degree, between you and God. But not just between you and God. It's within concert with your family and your friends, with your church, those that love you, that are able to speak into your life and say, man, I see this in you. I see this gifting in you and encouraging us in that. When I think of specific callings, I think of Jesus and Peter. having a walk down the beach. If you look at the end of the book of John, Jesus and Peter walking down the beach, and Jesus speaks into Peter's life, and he says, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. It's a very interesting statement, but what Jesus was doing here is he's giving him a calling, a life calling, a specific calling. Peter, I want you to pastor the church. I want you to take care of my sheep, the church. I want you to teach them. I want you to take care of them. Peter, I want you to do this. And then later on in the conversation, he says, oh, by the way, as you follow out this calling, what's going to happen to you is you're going to be led where you don't want to go. You're going to be led in chains. Basically, he starts prophesying over Peter that, like, he's going to die for his faith. He's going to be martyred for his calling and his commitment to Jesus. And it's interesting, Peter is like, but what about that? What about John, Jesus? What about him? The feed your sheep part, I can handle that, but this other thing, I'm not sure I like that. Is anybody else coming with me? What about John? And Jesus is able to look into Peter's eyes and say to him, that's none of your business. That's between me and him. And that's the individuality of Jesus and how he deals with us, is that sometimes we get caught up and we compare ourselves with other people. We compare our callings with other people's callings. Why can't I be like them? Or why do they get to do that? And da-da-da. We compare. And Jesus is like, no. This is this specific calling. This is just between me and you. This doesn't have to do with anybody else. Can you just listen to me? I've something for you. I have something for you. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, to be honest, the context of this really has more to do with our common calling than our specific calling, but I do think that this relates to our specific calling as well, that you, each of us individually has been created to do good works. He's created you to go out into the world, not just to make a paycheck. Have you ever felt like that? That's like, man, I'm doing this not because I love it, not because I'm supposed to do it, not because I want to do it, but just because I have to, and it's like it's a means to an end. I need to make a paycheck. And Jesus would speak into that, and I think he would say, man, I've created you to do good works. You are the workmanship of God. And I've created you to do good works. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says this. This is talking about Paul's calling. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Paul's recognizing his calling. He's like, I thought it was something else, but God grabbed a hold of me, and he set me apart, and he set me apart to do this specific job. It's to be an apostle. We see examples in the Bible of this throughout Scripture. You look at Moses. For those of you who are like, man, I'm in my 40s and my 50s, and I still don't know what I'm doing. You know, going back to that question, what do you want to do when you grow up? And maybe you're like, I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up. Well, I think you can be encouraged, because like Moses, he got called of God to go and like lead the people of Israel, and he was like an old man by that time. Can imagine that conversation, that the thoughts in Moses' mind going like, are you sure you're picking the right guy, God? I'm kind of old. Married, I have kids, I have a career. And now you want me to leave all of that and go do this. I'm reminded of the callings of David. I'm reminded of the callings of Mary. You know, her calling. You know, sometimes the calling God has placed on our lives, you know, sometimes when we think of calling, we think of our entire lives, maybe a 30-year career, a 40-year career, whatever, but sometimes the calling on our life might be for a very specific moment in time. There might be 1 year or 2 years of your life or maybe whatever, and it's like summed up in this. It's like God calls out to you and says, I want you to do this right now. And I think of that with Mary. It's like, God shows up into her life and says, your calling is to give birth to a baby. That's your job. give birth to this baby and raise this baby. That's it. Sometimes we downplay the importance of parenthood, right? And raising kids. It's just kind of a part of the thing. How important that is for Mary to have been like, God, there has to be more than this. Or, no, I just want you to have this child. Sometimes that calling is long or short. But this is the interesting thing. If by calling we mean a direct and unmistakable command from God to take up a particular task, job, or profession, or type of work, then the reality is that calling is very rare in the Bible. Calling is very rare in the Bible. The sense of like taking up a very specific job or career. Yeah, you see it happening amongst specific people throughout the scripture, but the reality is it's a little bit rare. What I see in the Bible is this idea that, like, yeah, God places importance on the things that we do. He does. But to a certain degree, our job isn't God's highest concern. It's taken me a lot of years to figure this out. When I was younger, I really thought, man, I need to figure out God's call in my life. God, what is it that you want me to do? And there was almost a sense, I think as a young person, a sense of dread of like missing the boat. I don't know if you've ever experienced that where you're like, man, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to make a mistake. Whether that was like, sometimes we have that sense of like, if I miss the boat, then what's God, I'm messing up God's plan for my life. And as I've gotten older, I've realized the grace of God in this. That our highest calling is to Jesus Christ. And he has those common callings and how we're supposed to live that out. And sometimes the job that we pick is a little bit immaterial. If he wants us to have a specific job, he's going to speak that into our lives and he's going to open up doors. But sometimes it's just like, man, if you were to pick that job or do this or do that or whatever, man, I just want to bless you in that. If you can figure out your highest calling, your calling to relationship with Jesus and how to live that out, man, I just want to bless you in whatever job that you do. And we're able to look at life like that, there's a sense of freedom. There's a sense of freedom of like not messing it up. And that God, whatever job that you've placed in front of me, maybe it's a job that you don't even like. That Jesus, my highest calling is to live out your kingdom in this job. Maybe I didn't pick the right career. It's okay. God's grace is greater than that. So how do you know your specific calling? This is some of the things that I see. Number one is the needs of the world around you. One of the strongest indicators of what God wants you to do is probably your awareness of what needs to get done to make the world more like what God intends it to be. What is the needs in your city? What are the needs in your province, in your country? What are the needs that you see around you? What are the opportunities? Sometimes the need isn't that need that's smacking you in the face in regards to, trying to solve world hunger or homelessness or whatever. But sometimes the need is the need that the economy is showing us. What are the needs? If you look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 5 to 7, this is a very interesting passage. Jeremiah's writing to the people of Israel. They're in a place that they don't want to be. They've been taken captive by the king of Babylon, taken out of their homeland, and placed in a country that is not their own. And Jeremiah speaks into this through the Spirit of God, and he says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Wow, that's a mouthful. Basically have kids. Multiply there and do not decrease. but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Maybe you are in a place today a little bit like those Israelites where you're like, this isn't where I want to be. I don't want to live in Kamloops. Or maybe it's, I don't want to do the job that I have right now. I don't like it. But there's no other doors that are opening up for you. I mean, this is the Israelite situation. And God speaks into it and says, like, I know this isn't where you want to be, and you're surrounded by this pagan culture around you. But I want to do something in you. I want you to look for the welfare of the city that you live in. I want you to take up a job where you can bless the people and the city and the country that you live in. Because as you bless it, you are going to be blessed. I love it. Sometimes those needs show up where the greatest demands are. So what are the needs around you? A second thing that we can find our specific calling is what are your gifts and your talents? What are the things that God has gifted you with? Romans 12, verse 6 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them if prophecy in proportion to our faith. Now, once again, I'm taking this out of context. I recognize that. He's talking about spiritual giftings. But I think this also applies to other giftings as well, our physical giftings that we have. That every single one of us has been given gifts. Go and use them. Figure out how God wants you to use your giftings in society today. I've heard, you know, within our culture today, as we raise children, there's this saying that oftentimes we say to our kids, we're saying, you can do whatever you set your mind to. We tell our kids that as they grow up. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. It's a very interesting statement. I think it's a great statement. I think it's an encouraging statement for kids. But there's an aspect that, like, in reality, we can't do just whatever we want to do. There's a gift setting that is there. If I wanted to become an Olympic weightlifter, you know, those guys who lift, like, you know, hundreds of pounds and they get Olympic medals and stuff like that, I could have that goal. The reality is that my body's just not suited for that. Might not have noticed. God didn't create me that way. I can go to the gym like 6 days a week. It's still probably not going to happen. There's this idea of discovering how God has created us and being okay with that. I'm okay with the things that I cannot do. Because I know that God has created me for other things. And to be okay with that. Number three, what are the desires that God has placed in your heart? What are the desires that God has placed in your heart? So we've looked at three things here. What are the needs around you to figure out what your calling is? What are the needs around you? Where are your giftings lie? But this last one is really, really big here. What are the desires that God has placed in your heart? This is really, really different from whatever makes you happy, do it. Right? That's the advice that we hear within our culture today. Do whatever makes you happy. Read in Psalm 37:4, and it says this. I love this scripture. I mean, this meant so much to me when I was a young man. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Love it. If you read that how you want to read it, it says, love Jesus, and he'll give you your whatever you want, including your Lamborghini. But if you understand the heart of the scripture, it's not saying that. It says, delight in God, that first calling, that highest calling. And what's going to happen is that he's going to place his desires in your heart. And when he does that, you are able to follow your desires, and you know that you're following the desire of Jesus. There's no longer that fear of messing up because you know that your heart is with God's heart, and those desires that he's placed in you, you know they're God's desires, and there's a freedom that's lived out in that. Where you know it's a God-placed calling, you know it's a God-placed desire, and you run with it and you do it. Because if he is for you, who can be against you? It's so different from whatever makes you happy, do it. Meeting the needs of the world around you, using your skills and gifts for the common good, and fulfilling your true God-given desires. This is about God's desires becoming our desires. These three are things to consider, but they're not absolutes. They're not absolutes. Maybe you're listening to me today and you're like, that sounds so good for those people who have that really strong sense of calling, but what about the rest of us? Maybe you're like, I don't relate to that. I don't have that strong sense of calling. For one thing, you know what's interesting is that we live in a fallen world. And the reality of the situation is that for some of us is that we just don't have the ability to choose the job that we have. We're really spoiled in North America. We grow up and the opportunities are endless. You know, you can get a free education, you can go to college, you can train, you can kind of become whatever you want to become in a sense. Do you know what the history of mankind is? If we look at the history of mankind, is that majority of people weren't able to choose what they did. They were homemakers. They were slaves and they were farmers. Did you know that? That's the history of mankind. Most people were homemakers, they were slaves, they were farmers. And that wasn't their choice. That was just their lot in life. So for us in North America, who are incredibly rich, we have this ability to talk about our vocation or our calling, be able to choose it, whether it's an electrician or an engineer or whatever it is. And that's why it's so, so important for us to realize that the majority, even of the world today, outside of Western civilization, they don't really get to choose what they do. And that doesn't mean that there's no less calling on their life. For someone who doesn't get to choose what they do, there is an incredible, strong calling on their life. When the ancient church looked at vocation and calling and said, it's just for the clergy, it's just for the priests, just for they got it all wrong. Because it makes it very, very clear in Scripture that Jesus has called you out individually. He's called you by name. He says, I've called you as a child of God. No matter what job you do, no matter what you have to do to put money on the table, I've called you as a child of God. I've called you to live that out. I'm going to invite the worship team forward. We're going to spend a little bit of time just responding to the voice of God in our lives. Maybe you're at a place where you're having to figure out that call of God in your life. God, what is it that you've called me to do this year, next year, in the future? What does that look like? But for some of us, wow, the lights are going on and off. Welcome to the light show. For some of you, it's recognizing in the midst of your situation, the midst of the job that you don't want to be in, that God is in the middle of that job with you. He has a calling. And when he gathered his disciples together, who were, a lot of them were fishermen, you know, quite a few of them were fishermen. They never chose that job. Peter never chose to be a fisherman. Why was Peter a fisherman? Because his dad was a fisherman. He just did what his dad did. But he called them out. And when he taught them to pray, Jesus said this. He says, when you pray, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. God, whatever I'm doing, whatever job it is, my calling is that I'm going to live my life in such a way that your kingdom will come here now. That idea of kingdom come isn't this futuristic thing where I'm just going to pray that I'm going to continue to pray that Jesus comes back. No, it's Jesus, may your kingdom be lived out now in my life. This horrible job that I don't even like, I'm going to live out your kingdom here. I'm going to bring a little piece of heaven down here and live it